Good morning and welcome to Central Standard Friday. I'm Monroe Dodd. History is the human story, and one of the ways we preserve our history is by caring for historical places. Today we'll look at two of those places in Missouri. One has special meaning for Kansas City. It's the Sheffield Cemetery, more than a century old and in need of help. We'll talk with someone who's leading the effort to restore and preserve that important historical and spiritual site. The other is on the opposite side of the state in Hannibal. It holds a spot in American and world literature as the boyhood home of Mark Twain. In the second half of this hour, we'll talk to the head of the Mark Twain Boyhood Home Museum, in the middle of the town and overlooking the river that inspired Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. But back to Kansas City. Barely more than 2 weeks from now is Memorial Day. At cemeteries big and small, it's one of the biggest visiting days of the year. Today, we welcome someone who's leading the effort to restore and to preserve a remarkable cemetery that's more than 110 years old, the Sheffield Cemetery. She's president of the Friends of Sheffield, Ricky Haith. Ricky, welcome to Central Standard Friday.
Thank you for including me here.
If we could, let's begin with where Sheffield Cemetery is and how it came to be back in the early 1900s.
Well, it's on Independence Avenue, actually 6200 Wilson Boulevard. And it has been there for many, many years because it was established in 1901. And during that time, when people gave money for perpetual care, of course, it was minimal. And that fund has more or less depleted through the years. So the cemetery itself became in a deplorable condition. And people were unhappy the way it had looked in the last number of years. So it's a beautiful cemetery. It's old. It has these huge stones. Some are flat. But there are things that you don't see today because most of the cemeteries just have flat stones. So to have that historic, you know, feel about it is also very important.
Now, Sheffield was begun by an Orthodox Jewish synagogue.
Yes, that is correct. Sheffield Cemetery was founded, actually, August 18th in 1901 by the former Tiferet Israel Synagogue, and it was merged with other Orthodox congregations. So at that time, it was the only synagogue that actually owned this particular cemetery and founded it. And the name of the president at that particular time was Lewis Kemp, and many of his great-grandchildren are here in the Kansas City area today, which is very, very nice. But in the meantime, BIAV, which is Beth Israel Abraham and Valinor Synagogue, by default, they have the cemetery, and they have maybe members of 125 members. Mm-hmm. It really is not enough to be able to maintain the cemetery the way it should be. But over the years, as I said, the perpetual care had, you know, diminished, so we wanted to do something to help. There are two stone pillars at the very beginning at the gate, and they are the founders, including Lewis Kemp, which is very nice because some of our board members have family members that are on those particular pillars, and it's very gratifying to see that. Once the cemetery was acquired, then the caretaker house had to be made along with the chapel, and that was in 1910. And it actually was the architect at the time was Rudolf Markgraf, and then it was tried to be renovated again in 1968.
Now, the chapel was used for services?
It was supposed to be used for services, for visitation, and a place to go for inclement weather.
And it's sort of the centerpiece of your current effort at restoring the
cemetery. Exactly, yes. In 2006, we actually started to raise money, funding, so that we could restore the cemetery itself. And thank God we have reached that point, that we have a maintenance fund and we've been able to do the restoration of the grounds. But it makes the chapel that much more of an eyesore. And so something had to be done for the chapel, but we didn't have the funding. And we're very grateful that right now we have Ed Asner coming in June, who's going to help us raise these monies when he does his one-man show of FDR on June the 17th. You did mention that Memorial Day is coming up, and we always have flags out for all of the, you know, Jewish war veterans that have been buried at Sheffield. We are the only congregation that has a World War II memorial for the fallen soldiers, mm-hmm. and we've had services out there for that particular event, and for Veterans Day. And in fact, we had one not too long ago, and we had about 145 people come out, and it was really an exciting event.
Now this is still an active cemetery in the sense that people are still being buried there.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yes. We have probably about 300 graves left that's been plotted. And now we have cleared ground so that we can have additional graves. How many at this point, I don't know, because we haven't, you know, platted it out. But, yes, absolutely.
And there are more than 5,000 people already buried there.
Yes, there's about 6,000 now that are buried there. The cemetery is about 11 acres. And so it's a pretty large cemetery. And one man could not cut the grass and keep it seeded and, you know, well-maintained. Mm-hmm. So since that particular time, we have done a lot of restoration for the cemetery itself.
When did your efforts begin? In the last decade?
Our efforts started in 2003.
Oh, okay.
And many of the people in Kansas City, not only Jewish people, but people that had an interest in the cemetery, maybe even in the neighborhood. The old Northeast neighborhood was doing everything they could to preserve the neighborhood mm-hmm. and keep it down from crime. They started an organization in 1983 and really had done remarkable work. So when we started, I was able to kind of keep in touch with them. There was a sewer that had been open, like a big pit. You know, it was like a sinkhole in the ground right outside the cemetery. They had called. Nothing was done. When I called the old Northeast, they got on it right away. Someone came out. They took care of the problem. And as I said, we didn't know what to do without them because they said, please keep in touch with us if anything else comes up. In the meantime, their funds were depleted also. They did not get any more funding from the city, and so they had to close their doors. So absolutely, we do miss them. Mm-hmm. But the Northeast area, it was important, not only because of, you know, the area itself, but it was a manufacturing area. Mm-hmm. And many of the names were taken from the British towns that mm-hmm. were manufacturing, mm-hmm. such as Sheffield and Leeds and Manchester. So Sheffield was a big name in Kansas City.
An industrial area along the valley of the Blue River.
Exactly.
And as I understand it, British investors contributed to the building of some of those steel plants, like what became Sheffield Steel and eventually Armco.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
also, I believe that the Ford Motor Company had a plant on Winchester not far from there.
That's possible.
In the 19, it was established, I believe, in the 19-teens before they moved to Clay Como. So if there's 6,000 people in the cemetery. Like most cemeteries, it begins, I suppose, with a promise of perpetual care. You pay a certain amount, mm-hmm. and the idea would be there's a sort of an endowment-like thing that will generate operating expenses. But it seems like so many cemeteries, this is hardly alone in that, never anticipate how much money it will really take over the years. Is that?
That's absolutely correct. And I'm actually kind of proud that I think we were the catalyst for other congregations and churches to realize, yeah, what is going to be the future? You know, we're not going to be here forever. Mm-hmm. And the cemeteries begin to decay if they do not have the funds available to keep them maintained properly. So we're very pleased with that. I would like to tell you some of the things that we've done in our restoration since that time. And we have improved the grounds with the engagement of a professional lawn company. We have new landscaping. We've updated the irrigation system. Trees were trimmed. Of course, the World War II memorial had been restored. The debris and refuse cleared for additional burial sites, which I'd already mentioned. And we also had to put in new cement walks and stairs to replace the broken ones, which were absolutely a safety hazard. And then the gravestones needed to be aligned. Many of them were toppled over. Some were broken. And we tried very hard to try to bring those back to where they should be. And we've restored the iron gates to their original luster. We're very proud of that. And then we also put in additional railings. We were unable to put in a ramp because of codes. Mm-hmm. But we put in extra railings. And that was suggested by someone from actually California, who came to visit the cemetery. He came in for the Veterans Day program. It was important to him to be at the cemetery. And he has a problem, a disability. And he said, you know, you need more railings. So when we put in the cement, we put in an extra railing. But he said you needed more. And he was really the impetus to put in more railings.
You're listening to Central Standard Friday on KCUR. I'm Monroe Dodd. Today we're talking with Ricky Haith about efforts to restore the chapel and grounds at Sheffield Cemetery in Kansas City's Northeast Industrial Area. Later in this hour, we'll head east to hear about the centennial of the Mark Twain Boyhood Home in Hannibal, Missouri. The congregation that began this cemetery, Ricky, was Kansas City's first Orthodox congregation?
I can't tell you that it was the first because there, I think, are like four Orthodox congregations, but they're very small. And many of them met, you know, in buildings, you know, and they just had prayer sessions.
Downtown.
Downtown, most likely. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there was one man, and he became very involved with the cemetery and also with helping to keep everything going. And he had a building. He was in real estate and manufacturing. So he had them come to his building and have prayer sessions there. And then from that, the Tiferet Israel Synagogue was actually founded in a building. And from there, they started the cemetery. But one of the reasons why they acquired this ground, the ground was actually a booming area in the 1880s because of the manufacturing and the British were investing and it was a wonderful thing. All the steel workers were there. So they bought up a lot of ground and then things just didn't seem to continue the way they were. So the ground became cheap. So because it was a lot cheaper than it had been, they were able to buy this ground for the cemetery. And that's actually what happened and why we acquired this particular ground in that particular area. And, of course, it was only maybe 15 minutes from Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And Kansas City isn't now where it is now. So it was probably pretty much centrally located.
15 minutes from east of downtown.
Yes.
Were.
Right.
In those days, before Kansas City's boundaries grew to
nearly
come to independence. When you say met for prayer meetings in buildings, that would mean that there weren't even rabbis.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that they might have had rabbis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they had Orthodox rabbis that came over. When they first came over in the 1880s, they, you know, maybe one or two men came over and tried to raise enough money so they could bring their families over from Poland, Lithuania, you know. Mm-hmm. And then once they started coming in and developing, then they had more of a population to work with. And I think that's how this all evolved. It's very important to have a cemetery when you move to a new community for the Jewish religion. Mm-hmm. One of the main things that you need to have is a place for burial that will be appropriate for the Jewish people. This happens to be an Orthodox congregation, so the cemetery itself is Orthodox. So they're closed on the Sabbath, but most of the cemeteries are that are Jewish. And they just maintain things a little bit differently, possibly, than some of the other cemeteries.
On Memorial Day, for instance, as I understand it from you, from our conversation before the show, people don't bring flowers, they bring pebbles?
Yes, that's correct. They bring pebbles, little tiny rocks, and they place them on the graves of their loved ones or friends. And this is to let them know that they were there, and that they miss them and respect them and feel that their sacrifices helped us to be what we are today. And one of the reasons why they have the stones, there's several different reasons that people come up with, but one of the main ones was because they could not always bury the people properly, especially when they're wandering in the desert, you know, for 40 years. So they had to put rocks and make like a mound. And if you saw Schindler's List, when they went at the very end, everybody was taking a pebble and putting it, you know, on his particular burial site. So that's kind of how it turned out, why we do that. We don't have flowers at Sheffield. It's hard to maintain flowers there, you know, and with the big stones that we have. And then they die, and then it's just more work for the caretaker. So we don't even have plastic ones, to be honest with you. Maintain the grounds now are just immaculate. They're beautiful. They're well trimmed. You feel good. You have a sense of peace now when you go, instead of being disheartened because your loved ones are not taken care of in the proper way.
That's an interesting thing about cemeteries. They are inevitably peaceful places, almost like a park.
Exactly. And you know where we have the World War II Memorial. There are benches there, and we can go there and you can meditate and just feel good because you're overlooking this huge complex of stones. And it gives you a sense of peace. We hope the same thing will happen when we have the chapel again. And we want a little bit of a meditation area in that particular area, too. So we have envisioned good things. So we just want them to materialize.
And once again, the chapel is two stories. It's brick, built mm-hmm. in 1910. And what's it used for now, and what do you envision it being used for once it's renovated?
Well, we want it to be used for services, mm-hmm. as I said.
Its original purpose, okay.
Right. And so many times people have graveside services, and if you have a chapel, they could go into the chapel, have their service, and then go to the graveside, especially if it's bitter cold outside or it's stifling hot. I've been out at cemetery graveside services where people have actually collapsed. They had to call 911. You know, old people can't stand there for an hour. And I'm not so old, but I can't stand there for an hour listening to someone talk and waiting for the burial to happen. So that would be the most wonderful thing to happen. And then when it's bitter cold, people get pneumonia and sick, but you know, there's just no place to go, raining. We've had all kinds of things that really are not necessary. You know, it's an unnecessary thing, and we need to help kind of correct that. But then some of the cemeteries, you know, have visitation afterwards. And many times, even though we have a service at home, if you're from out of town and you're burying your loved one and then you're going to go back and have your memorial services there, you want to visit with the people that actually came. They can't go into the chapel to visit. They don't have any place to go. And that's happened also. So we just want to try to correct all these things to make a place, and not that it has to be elaborate. We just want it to be clean and comfortable and that it will be usable. Right now it is used just as storage. Mm. The caretaker apartment is upstairs, mm-hmm. but the conditions are deplorable. It's like a tenement. I don't even know how he lives there. Yeah. He just keeps having hope for our Sheffield friends that we will hopefully get this taken care of. He was walking down the stairs, and one of the steps broke just recently, and he cut his leg. So now he has to mend his leg. There's no heating properly. Electrical system is not good. It's just not in good condition in any way. Or say it's not up to codes. So they really could probably have condemned us, but I don't think they would do that, knowing that we are going to do something, and it will be hopefully very soon.
That's good. This will you're looking for how much money, looking to raise how much money in this campaign?
Well, originally we were going to raise over $1 million, and now we just need another $100,000 from this particular event so we could start the chapel. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not tearing down the chapel. I'm sorry if I didn't make that clear. Mm-hmm. We're just gutting it mm-hmm. and putting everything new inside, so it'll be completely renovated and be usable. But we are not tearing down the chapel. First of all, even though the chapel is, you know, over 100 years old, it is in such good condition. The brickwork was so finely done, we should have such good work today.
Yeah.
it really maybe needs a few little tuck pointings. It's amazing how wonderful it looks. And then Friends of Sacred Structures mm-hmm. has been behind us all the way. And they said, absolutely, this is a historic site. It's a landmark for Kansas City, and it should be maintained and kept beautiful. So they have helped us in getting to this point. We have two architects on our board, Joe Shiver and Ted Seligson. You may have heard of them.
Yes.
They're both very prominent in the Kansas City community, and they have given us good advice in what we should do and how we should go about this renovation. And they have helped us select a contractor, actually an architect, for the new plans. The plans have been accepted. We're ready to go. We just need the money. And Fred Trogue is our architect. And all we have to do is just blow the whistle and he'll come a-running.
Back in 1910, when the Sheffield Chapel was built, there were plans. Are you working off those plans, or this is a new version of it, the interior?
Well, I imagine it's the same, but not exactly, but we are actually going back to the original plans, more or less, because there's a stairway inside, and we're going to use that stairway. In 1968, they added on to the back of the building itself, because there were no facilities for people to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So they added on, you know, two bathrooms. And then because of the bathrooms, they had like an overhang, which is a little bit of a porch for the caretaker, which I don't think he can even go out on because it's so rickety now. That's going to be all torn down. And a bathroom will be inside like it should be. And facilities will be there for people who need it.
In 1910, when it was built, codes were a lot different, wiring and plumbing and everything. I presume that that is a major thing to look at, too.
It is a major thing. I think maybe they put new plumbing and a new furnace in 1968, but if it was there then, it's not in such good use now. So David Newdeck is our caretaker. He's a wonderful young man and has done the best he could to keep everything up, but it's very difficult. Now, BIAV, I can't say they don't do anything because we need them. You know, they've been paying for the caretaker. They pay for the utilities, the insurance, you know, the water, you know, anything that has to do with the cemetery itself and the equipment because he was trying to cut the grass. But, you know, seed is expensive. Everything is expensive. And if he would cut the grass in one section, it would be overgrown in another section and that sort of thing. So we have come in to try to help in that department, actually to beautify and restore and maintain the cemetery the way it should be. And we formed Friends of Sheffield in 2003. And we became part of the Jewish Community Foundation in 2005 and started raising funds at that time once we were able to put the funds into the foundation to be used properly.
And you have a big fundraising event coming up. Once again, tell us when that is. It has Ed Asner as FDR, a one-man show.
Oh, yes, yes. He will be portraying FDR, recounting the story of the former president's life, and it'll be relayed through the series of personal anecdotes. And it's based on Dori Shari's Broadway play, Sunrise of Campobello. FDR is a show that reflects the iconic president's years in office. And the script tackles FDR's heroics and consequences of his battle with polio, his journey as presidency, and it even talks about his affair with Lucy Mercer, along with Eleanor, of course. So he's pretty controversial, but he talked about, you know, he's going to talk about Pearl Harbor and, you know, the war effort, and it should just be outstanding.
And Ed Asner is a local guy.
Yes, he's our hometown hero.
So where can people call for more information about this?
Okay, there are several things they can do. Actually, they can call me if they would like, but they have a website that they can go to, and it's SheffieldCemetery.org.
Okay.
That's all they have to put in, and that'll come up with all the information that we've been talking about, plus pictures of how the cemetery looked in 2003 and how that looks today. And you'll see a little glimpse of what's going on with the chapel. But if they could send a check to the Ed Asner Benefit, care of Barbara Cosner, C-O-S-N-E-R, 9839 Briar Street, and that's Overland Park, Kansas, 66207.
Okay.
General admission is $36.
Okay.
We do have some group rates if they're interested in that. And I'll give you a phone number that they can call.
All right.
642-8588. Area code is 913. And you will speak to Arlene.
All right. Well, Ricky Hay, thanks very much for sharing the story of Sheffield Cemetery on Central Standard Friday. It's good to have you with us, and good luck with the renovation of the cemetery and the chapel. Thanks again.
Thank you.